Lord. Now, I don't know if somebody is giving me a drink. Good morning. So as I've been doing consistently here for a few weeks, I want us to get in a spirit where we're ready to receive the Word of God. So this is, you know, we're transitioning, things are a little different. So I always want to make sure that we're ready to receive from God. And before I do that in prayer, before we join together in prayer, I was so excited about talking about Boaz. You see that front of your bulletin and the back of your bulletin? This is a really, really exciting man and topic and word for me, but I'm not going to preach that this morning. I am going to talk about hearing God. And I received this word, I think, from the Lord, and so I'm going to give it out as if it's been disseminated, a seed from the Lord. But before we bring this together, I want you to think about, have I ever heard God? Have I ever heard God? Now, if somebody had tapped me on the shoulder and said, as I was young, somebody said, Dale, have you ever heard God? I would say, well, no, I have no idea what you're talking about. But as I'm reflecting, I remember some things from my childhood. I remember, and I've talked about this probably a dozen times, I remember sitting in the car after church one day and asking my parents, who's God? What a logical question for a kid to ask. We're coming here to church every week. Who's God? I remember when I was in fifth grade, sitting in my room, the only year in my life where I had my own bedroom. And sitting in the bed, and I had a hymnal, and I remember singing How Great Thou Art, you know, with the stanzas, and it was like God birthed two other verses. So I wrote down my own verses. And there was something about the moment that it was, I couldn't really explain it. I just did it. It somehow, something happened there, and I would not have recognized that as God at that time. I remember when my father shared with me the four spiritual laws. And I remember looking at this book and I'm going, what is this, a lesson? Some kind of teaching? Do I have to take notes? It was a summer Sunday night, last free Sunday night of the year because I had to go to school the next week. And we came to the last part and it said, I went through all of the laws. I said, yeah, I know this about Jesus. And it says, you need to receive Jesus into your heart. And my father said, well, would you like to do this? And I said, yeah. And I remember thinking to myself, I say a prayer and something happens? That's a little bizarre. And I remember the words were right on the page. I mean, they were written out. And my dad said, well, say these words. So I read the words. I didn't. It wasn't even my prayer. I read the words, and it was like heaven came. And it was, and I didn't even know I had this heavy pack on my back. But it was like this heavy pack was all of a sudden off my back. So those are some recollections I have of God speaking, but I didn't really quite recognize it. So I'd like to talk today at the very grassroots level of how God speaks to us, and I think this will be healthy. It'll be healthy for you. It'll be healthy for our body. And I've been asking God to use this to encourage you this morning. So let's gather together. Pray with me. Lord, we come to hear from you. It's your words that are like living water for our spirit and our soul. Our soul thirsts for living water. As the deer pants for flowing water, running water, so my soul pants after you. So, Lord, we just open our hands and receive from you this morning. We give you all praise, honor, and glory, all authority for this place. We loose with freedom the work of the Spirit, and we bind the things of the enemy that has spoken into our soul and has spoken into our mind. is spoken into our emotions. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I do have a PowerPoint for this, but I am not handing it out. You have to take notes this morning. Can you handle that? And I would encourage you to take notes. And if there aren't enough printed out, which I'm guessing there might not be, just ask me afterwards and we'll get it to you in a software form or another hard copy. I will run them off. This is the advantage of having focus groups after church. Hearing God. So I have a question. So let's just start this morning by asking questions. How do I hear God? How do I hear God? How do I hear from God? Well, the answer to that question is always by His Spirit. We're going to focus on Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 16 this morning. We always hear God by His Spirit. And this is what Romans 8, 16 says. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, this is not just a fact. This isn't just a truth. This is the communication standard of how God speaks to us. We in our own selves can't respond to God except for by what? The Spirit of God, who reaches out and energizes us to respond to Him. So we always hear God by His Spirit. Now, if you just think about ways that you, when you're processing life and you're processing, should I make this decision? What am I doing? What should I do in this circumstance? Think about the ways that God does speak to us, practical ways. He speaks to us through Scripture. This is Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Romans 10, 17 says this. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So the Spirit speaks through Scripture. And everything now that I'm going to talk to you is subservient to Scripture. If any of these other things don't line up with Scripture, then it's not the Spirit's voice. And number two, though, has a little bit of it's kind of on a different level than the rest of them. And that is that He speaks by His inner voice. And His inner voice is the Spirit of God. Okay? So it's kind of a cyclical argument. But on the other hand, what this verse is saying is that the Spirit of God speaks to our spirit. To our spirit. So we hear in our spirit. We hear in our spirit. He speaks through the revelatory gifts. Apostle, prophet, teacher, pastor. And any of these I would be glad to break down for you. By the way, through His inner voice, I also have 2 Timothy 3:16 besides Romans 8:16. And what does that say? It says that Scripture is inspired, God-breathed. It's God-breathed. So Jesus reveals Himself through the breath of the Spirit. Through the revelatory gifts, that's based in 1 Corinthians 12:31. He also speaks to us through visions and dreams. Now, if you're anything like me, you've had many dreams. And some of the dreams, you're awful glad that it's not God. I still remember this day, a dream I had. I must have been in fifth grade. And I'm guessing it's because I still remember when JFK was killed. And it was years later, but I was shot. I was shot. Somebody shot me with a gun. Now, I thought it was real. And I still remember to myself in my bed. I realized I was in my bed, and I was feeling, and sure enough, I was shot. I could feel the pain. I could feel it on my body. And I go, you're kidding me. OK, Okay, well, that dream was not from God. Okay. That was, it was just my emotions processing whatever happened the week before, the day before, or something, and connecting with something that was anxiety inside of me. He speaks through people. He speaks through circumstances. And lastly, he speaks through angels. And the verse I have for that is Revelation 1:1. Of course, all these ways that he can speak to us are subservient to our Christ, who is the living word. And the scriptures, who are his revealed word that reveals our Christ. Christ is the Logos. We have the Logos. So that's the first question. How do I hear God? Always by his Spirit. Always by his Spirit. And where do we hear him speak? Where do we hear him speak? Always in our spirit. Always in our spirit. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Always in our spirit. Now, for me to kind of put some breath to this, let's just talk about the practicalities. We are as a person, okay? So Tim Mello is body, soul, and spirit. That's Tim. Okay? Body, soul, and spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24 says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, and he will surely do it." Okay, so we are three. Tim Mello has a body, and he's got a soul, and he's got a spirit. Now, in our soul, well, let's just start with our body. How many of you today are going to live forever in your body? Your body's going to live forever. Your body that you're walking in right now, the thing I call when I look at you and I go, okay, Tim, that body. How many of you are going to live forever? No. Our bodies have a corruption to them. Now, Christ is going to take care of that. If you want to read 1 Corinthians 15, you're going to see that God's got a way of doing something with our bodies that's eternal. Okay? But the mortal part is going to perish. And we will have immortal bodies. That's our body. Now, think about this, our soul. So I've talked about this before, Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Our soul is the part that God is, so God sanctifies, he changes our body. Our soul is the part that God's sanctifying and he's changing. And when our soul is completely healed and healthy and righteous, we will make a death. All that is within me. But it's in a place of God sanctifying our soul. And our soul is a place where we have our will. We have our mind, our thinking. We have our emotions. We have our feelings. That's our soul. Now the spirit. The spirit is the place where we respond to God. And when our spirit is regenerated, it is regenerated completely. It is God's. It is God's. Now, I was taught in Bible school that the soul and the spirit were kind of the same thing. Well, if that were the case, look at Hebrews 4:12. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, able to cut between what? Soul and spirit. Now, if it were able to cut between soul and spirit, and they were the same thing, it wouldn't make any sense. Soul and spirit, they aren't the same. So number three, I'm going to help number two with number three. Who does he speak to? Who does he speak to? What does it say in the verse? His children. Now, we have to be careful here, but on the same hand, I'm going to be a politician. One of the good things about being a pastor is that when people ask you direct questions, sometimes you understand that there's a broader answer and a broader truth, and you can speak truth without answering the question. Okay? So you have to receive the truth without being antagonized by your pastor because he's not asking you exactly what you're asking. And I'm not saying that in a way that is either elevating me, this is really about Jesus Christ, but it's part and parcel of being a pastor. You have to speak truth, and sometimes the truth is outside of your paradigm. It is one of the things that God has really grown me in, to be able to say, listen, I speak to you in a broader way than just answering your question to exactly what you're talking to me about, and therefore I can minister in that same degree. To his children. Okay, so think about this. I want you to just stop and say, okay, everything we talked about now, we're talking about what is this verse saying as far as speaking to his children. So I gave you three examples of when now that I'm processing, I heard from God. One, I was probably about 5 or 6 years old. Was I a believer at that time? No. I hadn't received Christ in my heart. I have evidence of the day that I received Christ in my heart. When I was sitting in my room, that beautiful room where I had it all to myself, with four brothers, that was nice. And it was like all of a sudden these words came to me as I filled them into this wonderful hymn that it's like stirred me when I sang it in church. Was that the Spirit of God? Was I his child? So I want to remind you, now that I've just kind of set that platter, look at John 3. Jesus is having a dialogue with Nicodemus. And in this dialogue, Jesus says, you must be born again. You must be born again. And Nicodemus understands being birth. And he says, are you kidding me? Do I have to go back into my mother's womb? Now, he was not serious. I mean, he did not think he could go back. He was trying to say, Jesus, this is ridiculous. Okay? So if you look in John, beginning with John chapter 3, beginning with verse 5 through 7, listen to this. Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I say to you, you must be born again. Now this is the clincher, right here. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from or where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. You want me to explain how I was regenerated by the Spirit? I can't. I know some points where I thought I might have heard from God, that my spirit responded to God, but it's like the wind. Where is it coming from? How many times has it touched my spirit? I know when I responded, but I don't know all the other responses. I can't put the Spirit of God in a box. It is one of the wonderful things about God that He has a way to speak into who we are. To take us to the place where we respond to Him. Was I saved on the day when I said, "Who's God?" No, but there was something in the Spirit of God that said, "Who is God? I want to know." I had probably been to 100 services before that. Probably more like 250. I never asked the question before. Why did I ask it on that day? Because the Spirit of God was testifying to my spirit that I was a child of God. Not in the moment, because we look at the timeline. God is eternal. Are you His child today? Some of you will say, "Yes, I know I am a child because the Spirit of God has testified to my spirit that I am." Some of you may be saying, "Well, I don't know." Well, I can tell you this, that the Spirit of God today may be testifying to your spirit that it's time for you to realize that you are a child of God in eternity. And maybe today is the day when you say, "Yes, I'll receive Jesus into my heart," because it's open to you. Someone told you, and the Spirit of God says, "Today's the day for you to realize that you are my child." Number four. And lastly, what will God formatively say? What will God say to you when He speaks? What will the Spirit of God testify to your spirit about formatively? It's that we are His children. Now, I don't want to lose this moment. So, I need a volunteer. Someone who will come up here next. Jenny. Okay. Okay, we're staying right here. For us to understand how God views us, I put these in three categories. Okay? And the three categories are acceptance, significance, and security. So if I can look at Jenny's shoulder, this is what God's saying, testifying to her that she's His child. So this is from John 1:12, just a base verse. But these are the things that God is saying to us. "Jenny, I have completely accepted you. There is nothing that is holding you back from being mine. Nothing that you do can ruin this relationship. I accept you for who you are." And I am your father. Acceptance. And then He speaks on this other side, and He says, "I have secured you. You are safe. Everything about you is safe. You do not have to fear. I have provided for you completely. I have taken care of every need, and I have protected you and guarded you on every side. You're safe. You're secure. And the last thing our Father is whispering to us is that you have value. You are significant to me. I have created you. I have created you just the way you are. I am your glory, and I am the lifter of your head. You are significant to me. You are my child. This is the true Father who loves us. It's not the things that we've fabricated to say that fathers are. This is the Father who is speaking constantly by His Spirit into our spirit that we are His children. And that we've received an inheritance that is as rich as He is. Thank you. Do you get it? Now, this is what He's constantly speaking to us. Constantly. In fact, this is something that never stops. And everything that He speaks is breathed out of this base. Everything. I love you. I love you. And I've done everything for you to declare your acceptance and your security and your significance. Now, if we go back to those hearing from God, remember when I had those people, circumstances? This is the filter that we get to understand if these things are from God truly. Because if they do not contain this breath and this speaking of love and sonship, they are not true. And it's not God speaking. Okay, so this is the hard part. Does that make sense so far? Okay. So we in church, we're the church. We're the church of Christ. We're the church of God. What is the number one, absolute number one problem that people have with the church? We're hypocrites. Now let me just move this conversation into what we do wrong. If what we do in church is according to this speaking, it is absolutely from God. So every worship leader, every pastor, every message, every team, we have teams now instead of boards, every committee, every relationship, every teaching moment, everything that comes by the Spirit and has these things from an integral standpoint, from a base standpoint, if these things are moving through our ministry, then it's of God. But the problem is, we don't do it from our spirit, we do it from our soul, which is corrupted. Now, we have rules that sound right, but you know that rules sounding right from the soul are a lot different than rules sounding right from the spirit. This is how we tick each other off, because we operate in our souls and not our spirits. We operate in our own carnal nature instead of what the Spirit of God wants us to do. And this is hard. So I'm just thinking of things that have happened in the past. And this is why probably about 4 or 5 years ago I told the elders, we should not be doing any business on Sunday. It's because when we start doing business, we get our souls involved. I can't tell you how many Sunday mornings are like, okay, who got mad at who? What happened? I mean, and it always starts out good. Somebody wants to help somebody else out, but then they don't want to do it that way, and then all of a sudden they're mad at each other, and then somebody leaves the church. So I'm just thinking about things, and I'm not pointing fingers here, but I'm going to speak in generalities. If any of you remember things and they connect with it, please be gracious. But I have to be practical here. So we've had people leave the church because they came here to do a ministry, but they forgot to fill out a facility form, and they got yelled at. Now, okay, so you're just saying in yourself, some of you are trying to be defensive. It's not anybody here in the building, okay? But I give the illustration because it reminds you that when we do things out of this, I mean, we make rules for a reason. We make rules to protect Jenny and her time. We make rules to protect me. We make rules to protect our leadership, different leaders. But there are rules, and they can be administered by the soul, or they can be administered by the spirit. Get it? So let me bring back 1 Thessalonians 5. I used this before. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. So this is the breath of the Spirit in the middle of the body, soul, spirit. Sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. If this is what God is doing, then when we talk to each other, this is what we should be doing. Speaking the work of sanctification into each other. And quite honestly, a lot of times, that whether it's high leadership or low leadership, we're working out of our soul and not out of the spirit. And we work out of the spirit only by the Spirit of God. This is what 1 Corinthians 2, verses 14 through 16 says. And I right now, what I'm reading is, I'm actually translating some of these words, because there's not one translation that gets the whole thing right, okay? So get a PowerPoint if you're interested in these three verses. The soulish person does not understand the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. And he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned by the Spirit. The spiritual person discerns all things, but is himself to be discerned by no one. Why, if you're discerning by the Spirit, are you to be discerned by no one? Because the only one who discerns you is the Spirit of God, if you're discerning by the Spirit. For who has understood the mind of the Lord, the mind of Christ, so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Where is the mind of Christ completely whole? In our spirits. You are only working in the mind of Christ if you're working in your spirit. Okay, so here's the end. I have talked long this morning. The Holy Spirit is re-parenting you. Some of you are parents, grandparents, great-grandparents. I don't care. Some of you are children. who have parents in your home. The Holy Spirit, all of you, wants to reparent you. In other words, he wants to say, this is what a father speaks into their child. And that reparenting moves us, moves our soul into a place where we respond to God. Acceptance, security, significance. We function by the Spirit when we operate accordingly by the Spirit. So, I haven't done the full exegetical message, so here's the end. If you look in your Bible and you looked at verse 16, you might have said, well, Pastor Dale, you missed the previous verses, and you missed the verses after it. That's true. So let me add some import to this. If we go back to verse 14, for all who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. That means the sons of God can be led by the Spirit of God all the time. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear, slavery and fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. I'm your child. I'm sorry, you're my child. Said it wrong. A spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Listen, this is what's going on. What's going on is the Spirit of God speaks to us and we respond, Abba, Father. If you can't say, Abba, Father, Father, Daddy, then you're holding this off. And guess what? It's bing, 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 bing. We cry, Abba, Father, the Spirit speaking to our spirit. You're my child. You're significant. You're accepted. You're safe. So if you're being led by the Spirit, then when I grab you and I say to you, honey, you really need to put the dishes away differently in the dishwasher. That's not by the Spirit. That's by your rule. You just said, Spirit, I'm going to quench you. I give that example because my corruption has caused a ripple effect that is still going on in my family and my children. And probably my wife and I have a conversation about it at least once a month. It's what I did. I didn't protect a rule in the house, and so now it has a ripple effect of the soul, of carnality. I did that. If I say to you as a ministry leader, you know, you really need to work on this. What's the test? What's the test of whether I said that in my soul or my spirit? Is the person who's receiving it receiving the love of the Father and engage with the love of the Father? And if it isn't, then it's out of my flesh. And I've just screwed up ministry. Stopped by the Spirit. And we have a problem here. But we also have a great opportunity here. So that's why I'm speaking this morning. So you're responsible for this information. Whatever relationship you have, side to side, whether it's cooperative or whether it's ministry leader down or ministry leader up, you have a responsibility to walk in the Spirit of God. Do not be drunk with wine, Ephesians 5:18, which is debauchery. Well, what is it saying? You're operating outside of the Spirit, but be filled with the Spirit. It just works together. Because it's true. We need to work. We need to lead. We need to deal with each other by the Spirit. Okay? I'm up for questions, not today. Okay? You can ask me questions. We'll start tomorrow. Okay? Send me an email. I'd be glad to fill in all the blanks. So now, if we are going to operate by the Spirit, then we recognize the Spirit of God in each other. So, they did not know this, and that is my fault, but Matt and Emery, would you guys come forward? I have approached, and council and the eldership has received, accepted, and confirmed a journey that Matt, and because of his wife Emery, will have to go along on this journey, that Matt's going to take with us. So, and what that journey is we've set a path to call him in the ministry this fall. He and I will be starting on something called the STEP program, which is a pastoral ministry program through EMU. We'll be driving down once a month to Lancaster or somewhere near Lancaster. I don't know. It's all the same to me. For 3 years. Now, this costs money, and so when I talk to the council and to eldership, we're committing to paying half of what Matt's going to need for his schooling, which is about $3,500 a year, and that starts in 2018. We will start school in 2017, but his first year we'll pay in 2018. So we've also talked about a title, and the one title that our conference recognizes is associate. So Matt's going to take on the title of associate pastor. And this has all been approved and authorized and recognized by both council and eldership. So we want to announce before you that we're on a path to teaching, discipling a man of God to be a pastor in our midst, which really is the way we should do it. Okay? So elders, if you'd come forward, I'd just like to pray over Matt and Emery. And guys, I'm going to change the mic from mine to the hand mic. Okay, I'll close. Would one of you like to open?
Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and we give you glory. Father, I thank you for Matthew and Emery. I thank you for Matthew especially. I've known him for many, many years, since he was maybe 10. I praise you because I've seen you grow this young man from a young boy to a faithful man of God, one who is pursuing you. And I just pray that you would stand in his beside him and carry him through all the difficult times that will come, and that he may never take his eyes off of you. Keep him faithful, Lord. Keep him protected. Allow him to continue to grow in Christ.
Father, I thank you that you, through the Holy Spirit, allowed Matt to grow, that you will be with him on his path to become an associate pastor in our church. We trust in you that you will be with him every step along this path, that you will bless him and us as he takes those hurdles, as he grows into this ministry. Father, we ask you to bless his family, his wife and his children, that you will take all the hurdles away or make them easy, be it financial or be it time-wise. And Father, we also commit ourselves to support this as a church. Father, we realize this is your will, this is your doing. And so we pray your will be done here in this church.
Lord God, I just want to glorify you, Lord God, as a witness, Father God, for this people, Father God, that this Matthew and what he's going to and this man of God you sent to my daughter, Lord God, was an answer to prayer from many, many, many years ago, Lord God. And that you, God, are a God who answers prayers, Lord God. I remember praying for Emery that you would send a godly husband to her, and you have done so. And I just glorify you, Lord God. Bless Matthew. Fill his mouth. Give him dreams and visions and use him in a mighty way, Lord, as he continues on, you know, begins this adventure, this journey, Lord, and my daughter along with him and my grandchildren, Lord, bless them. Fill them. Use them. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Matt and Emery are one. Is it a calling of one or is it a calling of two? I just declare in the congregation that the Lord has called them together as a unit, and I pray that it would never be just one person being called. So I just declare that the calling is upon both because they are together. And I just want to say to Emery the same thing that we just learned to Emery, that you are important, you are valuable, and you are loved. So I just want to make sure that we see that is the both of them being called together.
So, Lord, we respond to you and take Emery and Matt as a team that you've given into our midst, and we declare to you that we will, in every way possible, by the living God, lead this couple forward by the Spirit of God. So as God, as Jesus, as you enable us by your Spirit, we ask that you would make their giftings flourish, that you would reveal the things of God for them, that you would give them everything from the giftings that you have promised them, that they would understand who they are in you and to be your servants. In Jesus' name, amen.